Go ahead and be turning with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. I want to take time to speak to you today on revival. And let's talk about what is revival. To give you some context in the book of 2 Chronicles, before we get to our text verse, let me just give you a bit of background. You will remember that King David had wanted to build a temple for God to dwell in. And in talking with God about this, it was revealed to him that because he had been a man of war, that he should not be the one to build the temple. So what he did was he began to gather all of the building materials. And we can read the tremendous time, finances, and effort that was put in to bring all of these building materials together. But then it was his son Solomon who became king in his stead, who actually built the temple. And when we get here to 2 Chronicles in this particular area, we see this temple, this magnificent edifice that's being built and dedicated to the Lord, we get a little glimpse of what goes on. The very last two verses of chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles gives us the prayer that Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple to God. And the Bible tells us, as chapter 7 opens up, as soon as Solomon finished this prayer, fire fell from heaven, and it came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can you just imagine for a moment in your mind's eye what that must have been like had you been there with God's people on that day to see that awesome sight of the fire of God falling from heaven and consuming the offering that was left for him, and then God putting his stamp of approval on what had been done by actually inhabiting that temple with his glory, to the point that the priests could not even enter at that time. But then, as awesome as this is, it continues, because we find out that very soon after that time that Solomon brings his offering to the Lord. And it is incredible to see what Solomon offered. It says in chapter 7 and verse 4 that the king offered sacrifices before the Lord along with all the people. And King Solomon offered, get this now, 22,000 oxen. 22,000? But not only that, 120,000 sheep the king gave as an offering to the Lord. What an incredible day this must have been to see all of this happening and God coming to dwell among his people. They feasted, the Bible tells us here, for 7 days to commemorate this. And then when all the people went home, God spoke to King Solomon. And he told him what would happen if they forgot God, if they fell away, the tremendous price that they would pay for that. But then he tells them also what they could do if they had failed God, how they could come back to God, if you will. And I guess in parlance of today's message, how they could experience revival. And this is what he said to him as we look to verse 14 in chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God's people had to do this in order to make things right with God again, whom they had fallen away from. And the truth is, my dear friend, we need a spiritual revival that will put moral fiber back into our society. But I want you to notice what God said. This isn't what I said. I didn't make this up. I'm just reporting to you what Scripture teaches us. God said, His people need to do this. It's not if the government gets right. It's not if our neighbors do what they should. It's not if all the criminals, you know, are released from prison and they are completely assimilated back into society, no longer to commit crimes again. No. That's not it. If my people, you, me, and others in God's church today do what's necessary. In our society today, we have to be honest. We have to admit honesty and truthfulness have been thrown out of the window. The U.S. is fast becoming one big mad whirl of amusements and pleasure and immorality. What other society pays athletes hundreds of millions of dollars to play games? I love sports. I just feel like I came along at the wrong time. Back when I was playing, do you realize that a baseball player that just recently retired, Alex Rodriguez, signed two contracts at the end of his career? He signed a 13-year contract with the Texas Rangers, and then he signed a 10-year contract with the New York Yankees and was paid in excess of $500 million to play baseball. And we're living in a society where teachers have to buy part of their own supplies to get by in the classroom. Don't make enough money to live on, hardly. Many teachers in many of our states would qualify if they were to sign up for social service assistance. And they are teaching our children, and we are paying athletes hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the society that you and I live in. But not only athletes, actors, musicians, many of them. Some make over $100 million in a single year. That's the society that we find ourselves in. And the truth is, you have to begin to deal with sin to get over that. The drug menace, far from decreasing in our society, is increasing and claiming new and younger victims every day. Let me tell you. Many years ago, when I went into a community and was working with youth pastors for the Billy Graham Association, I found out if I was going to work successfully with them, I had to become involved with social media. I remember having a meeting with them and saying, look, I'm sending you emails. You're not answering. What's the problem? And they looked at me, and this was quite a while ago. They said, email? We don't email. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? You don't email. They said, just send a tweet. I'm like, do what? They said, you don't have a Twitter account? One of the guys grabbed my phone, and he said, okay, you've got an account now. I said, I'm no account. What account? What are you talking? And they showed me. They said, and I would look on there every day, and this youth pastor had put on, I'm at Panera Bread. It's noon. Anybody around want to have lunch? Come on over. And I would send a tweet to them. They'd send it, the answer right back to me all the time. But you know what I have found out about things like Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and all the other? People don't always tell the truth. Who'd have thought? Sometimes I sit there and look at my wife and I say, you know what I just read? It said this, and she said, have you checked that out? That's not true. Why would they put that on here if that's not true? We are not truthful. So I did not get this from Facebook. I got this from a recent report from the CDC dealing with sexual problems in America. The CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control out of Atlanta, just issued a report last month citing the final figures for the year 2017. And they said in 2017, there were more sexual diseases reported than ever in our history. HIV was down. Everything else was up. We've never had as many sexual diseases reported. These are just the ones that are reported in our history. You have to deal with sin to take care of some of the problems that we're facing, for sure. Political issues divide us. They do not unite us any longer. And we have to be honest and admit that. The confidence that we have in government has been completely shaken. And that's from local government to state government to our federal government. We have no confidence in that any longer. And at this rate, we don't have to worry about terrorists or anyone else destroying us. We're doing a fine job all by ourselves, thank you. We can handle this. We're destroying ourselves, slowly but surely, from within. And it's high time that we in the church, who call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, turn from the world and go to the foot of the cross. Because you see, when we come to Christ, he saves us, or if we are already followers of Christ, he has promised he will revive us and give us the capacity to love our neighbor. Look around. You're not seeing a whole lot of love these days. We see anger. We see people who are upset. We see everything else. You know, it used to be that sometimes some denominations didn't love other denominations real well. Then it got to the point that maybe even within the same denomination, they didn't love each other real well. And if we will be honest with ourselves and with God, we will have to admit that the time has arrived now that even within the same church, we don't love each other very well. Oh, we may love a few of them, but not everybody in our church. We have serious questions about them. And we don't love them as we should. You see, when Christ revives us, he gives us the capacity to love one another. And the truth is this, we are equal in God's sight. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but rather he looks upon the heart. God sees our pride. He sees our unconfessed sin. And the fact that we really don't love each other becomes very obvious. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Are people able to look at us and tell that we're disciples? Because we love one another so much. Can they see that in our lives? Or is the time come for us to admit we need revival? We have to have revival. We need to come to the cross and get a good look at ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. Cults and false religions are a tremendous problem in our country today. You can't even say anything from the Bible because people don't believe it and they're offended by it. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not offending you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is what God says. Whether we like it or not, it's the truth of God when we look to His Word. God says you can have all the religion you want. I'm not going to hear your prayers because your hearts are far from me. Oh, your lips say the right things, but your heart and your life doesn't back it up. And He won't hear that. Multiple thousands of church members in our own country are serving God with their lips, and their hearts are far from God, as is evidenced by the life that they live every day. They've never had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ where they were saved, born again, and freed from sin. It hasn't happened. Most people who go to church in America today are content to live uncommitted, undisciplined lives and still call themselves Christians. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ and you are saved, let me stop there a moment. Do you remember what it was like when you got saved? If you are a child of God, do you remember what that was like? Can you recall the excitement that filled your soul because you realized you were not going to hell, that heaven was your home, that Jesus was your brother, and that God loved you? Do you remember what that was like? Or is it so dusty and musty and old that we just have faint glimmers in our mind of what it was like back then? God is looking today for real, genuine repentance on the part of His people. He didn't say if government gets straight. He didn't say if you reform all the criminals. He said if my people who are called by my name. That's who He's talking to. He's talking to me and you. As uncomfortable as that is, it's the truth. That's who God is talking to in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You see, this is the real philosophy of revival that we find here. It notes a spiritual decline on our part. It teaches that revival is a spiritual awakening. That you do remember what it was like when you were saved. And you are no longer content to live without that in your lives today. It doesn't matter how bad the situation gets, how bad the circumstances are. God's people who are called by His name, when they humble themselves and pray and seek His face and forsake their sins, God will hear and He will heal. He'll meet their every need. When they get sick and tired of living lives that are so powerless and meager and weak, He will meet every need. Seek His face. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6, Isaiah, that great prophet, tells us something about himself. He says there, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah the prophet. What he was saying there is, you know, King Uzziah was a pretty good king. Everything was okay. Things were kind of rocking along, all right. You know, economy's well. Things are doing okay. We didn't need God. But when Uzziah died, and we didn't know what was going to happen next, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, a prophet of God, I saw the Lord. And when I saw God, he was high. He was lifted up. His train filled the temple. Have you ever thought, what does that mean? His train filled the temple? Well, let me give you a glimpse. In that day when the king went to temple, he would wear his royal robes. Each year that he served as king, on the end of his train, there would be added another section indicating that he had been king for that year. The next year, there would be an additional section added. So if you had a king who had been a king for a long time, he'd have many of these sections added. His train would become longer and longer as it trailed behind this royal robe that he wore when he entered the temple. So if you had a king who had been there for a long time, it was an amazing sight to see this long train trailing behind the king as he entered the temple. But Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. It wasn't just a long train. The temple was completely filled. That's the kind of king we serve. That's the one that we're looking for. That's the one that has the answer to every one of our problems. So the real basis of revival is just that. If my people, who are called by my name. You see, revival is that strange and sovereign work of God by which he visits his people. He touches his people. He changes his people. He restores his people, releasing them into the fullness of his blessing. And that results in us not even being able to keep back from telling people about Jesus and who he is and what he can do and what he wants to do for people. But it must be clearly understood. Revival is for God's people. Nobody else is going to do that. Government's not going to do that for you. We leave it to government and they tell us we can't even worship. You know, you can't have decorations out at Christmas. You can't even say Merry Christmas because it offends people. That's what happens when you leave it to government. This is for God's people. When we clearly understand and God's people experience revival. If revival is to visit the church today, there has to be some things that are understood. Revival means to revive, to quicken, to recover, to restore to the way things used to be. And it's always used in reference to God's own people, not other people, God's people. David said in Psalm 85:6, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Not them again, us. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in you? So when we think of revival, we must realize he's talking to us rather than people outside the church. The person who is not following Christ does not need revival. They need salvation. They're dead in sins. Spiritually, they're dead. And nothing but the new birth can bring about the right relationship with God. But it's us, the followers of Christ, that need reviving. That person that has life in Christ, but needs it more abundantly. In John 10:10, we read, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Are you sick and tired of living weak, anemic Christian lives and you want to have an abundant life in Christ? It only comes through revival. That's how it happens. You can be powerful and living an abundant life in Christ, but only when the Christian is filled with the Spirit of God will they be able to have impact on people around them. Oh, yes. It is a command from God for us to be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option. God said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say it might be a nice idea. Here's something that you might consider. No. He said, be filled. Literally, it means be being filled. You could take that glass of water and you could pour the water out and it would be empty. He says, be you continually being filled with the Spirit. Don't run out of it. Continue to be filled with the Spirit so you can live a powerful, revived Christian life that impacts the world around you. And when we don't do that, when you don't do something that you're commanded by God to do, you're being disobedient. That's the truth. So the choice is be filled with the Spirit and live that way, or be disobedient and live a weak, meager life. Then there's the burden of revival. As that verse goes on, it can be summed up in one word, really. The cost, the burden of revival is prayer. That's the only way it comes, is prayer. Revival doesn't come accidentally. There's never been any such thing as a prayerless revival. Does not happen accidentally. The truth is, the church today is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. That's the truth. We refuse to bend our knee to God or anybody else. And as a result, we live weak lives and we blame God for it. Why isn't God doing what he's supposed to do? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. When we bend our knee to God, when we recognize his sovereignty over our life, he holds our breath in his hands. When we realize that and we recognize that and we bend our knee and we tell him that, then he will make us powerful. Doesn't come accidentally. We want the blessings of revival. We're just not prepared to pay the cost for it, though. There has to be brokenness. We don't like brokenness. Who does? But that's the only way it comes. Humble yourself. Be broken before God. Bend your knee to God. So the question for us today is, are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to be broken in order to be blessed by God? We have to be earnest, persistent, consistent in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What it literally means is ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Well, preacher, I prayed for revival. Nothing happened. I give up. Then you'll never have it. You'll never have it. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking until God answers and sends revival. That's what he says we're to do. Hosea 10:12 says, it is time to seek the Lord. Let me tell you what, folks. It's high time in America that God's church is honest enough to seek the Lord. Because our choice in our day is judgment or revival. We can have either one we want. We get to choose. And let me tell you what, holiness comes from that kind of prayer. When you pray like that, we begin to turn from our wicked ways. the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Paul said men ought to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That means we realize we're not perfect. And we confess to God our sins. And we beg Him to forgive us and fill us and use us. That's what lifting up holy hands is all about. Revival, turning from our wicked ways, repenting, confessing. That's what God wants to see from His people. And when that happens, there's the blessing of revival. God says, I will hear and I will heal. Forgiveness comes. Nothing is worse than feeling like your prayers don't get above the roof. Sometimes we need to look at our lives because that's the reason why. Our sins shield our prayers from God. So the choice is ours. Judgment or revival? Which one do we want? You see, revival is the saturation of our lives by God Himself. We are totally saturated by God. Wouldn't you like to live like that? You walk around and you go to a mall or something and you see people who are saturated with social media and with their tablet or their phone. They don't notice that the world is turning. They're saturated with that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful, pastors, to come to church and see the people saturated with God? I mean, every time you pinch them or something, God oozes out. Because they're like a sponge that's been saturated with God. You see, revival is not some energy that's worked up. It's not some excitement that's been planned. Revival is the invasion from heaven that brings a constant, conscious awareness of God. We wouldn't do half the mess we do if we were conscious that God is right there. He's not beside us. He's in us. We can't do anything that is hidden from God. And when we're so saturated with God that we realize that, it changes the way we act. God's church comes alive. God's word comes alive. God's work comes alive as a result of the blessing of revival. And we need to understand that. So my question to you today, for us in this place at this time, are we ready? Are we ready to take God at His word? To believe God instead of everybody else around us? Are we ready to meet God on His terms and receive the revival that He has for us? Receive that in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own church, right here at New Hope Baptist. In our community, in our city, in our land. There's only one way that's going to come: when God's people get ready for it. Would you stand with me in prayer? I'm going to pray, and as soon as I pray, Pastor Burke's going to come with a hymn of invitation. And as we sing that hymn of invitation, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to step out from your comfort zone, from where you are, just to come down here. If you're serious, to pray that God will send revival. And pray that He'll begin it in your life. It's not just that New Hope needs revival. Although New Hope does, God's church needs revival. This land is desperate for revival. And the only way they will ever experience it is for God's people to ask for it, to confess their sins, to repent, and ask God to send revival. If you're serious about that, and you want to come together corporately and pray. As Pastor Burke leads us, I invite you to come down. And then Pastor Brian's going to come and lead us together corporately in prayer for revival. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Dark is the hour. Lord, we need your filling. We need your love and your mighty power. Lord, move now upon us. Stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Revive the church today. Father, these are your people. You've told us what we need to do. You've been very clear. God, I don't think there's ever been a time in our country that we need revival any more than today. But it's up to your people. And so, Lord, I pray that you will put the need for revival on the hearts of every one of us. And do not let us stop until you answer and send us revival. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. As Pastor Burke leads us, if God is speaking to you, you come. And in a few moments, together, we will pray that God sends revival.
Number 450, I need thee every hour. Number 450.